right, Life Point Church, how are we doing? Life Point Church, how are we doing today? It's a beautiful day, and we're here together, and we're hanging out. You know, shout out to the worship team. That was awesome. I was backstage listening and worshiping. It was good stuff. So give it up for them, man. I appreciate what they do. They come in early every Sunday, volunteer their time, and are incredibly passionate about what they're doing. And you know, it's awesome to come in early and see them worshiping while they're rehearsing. You know, it's a rehearsal, but man, they're up here worshiping, and that's what it's all about. So I appreciate and thank them. My name is Andy Driscoll. I'm the lead pastor here, and I am so excited that you're with us here with us today. Man, God is doing incredible things. He's going to continue to do incredible things through this church and this community, and I'm so thankful that you're on board and that you're here and that you're choosing Life Point Church as your place to worship and to serve and to be on mission to fulfill the Great Commission. So, man, we appreciate you being here, and we love you. Today, we are kicking off a new message series called Pray. It's just simply called Pray. And so what we're going to do for the next 3 weeks is we're going to take a deeper look at prayer. I think sometimes we complicate prayer so much. And it's really something that is not complicated. It's something that's beautiful. It's something that we have the privilege to do. So to kind of establish a baseline for the next 3 weeks, I want to ask you a very simple question. And I want you to be brutally honest with yourself. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand when I ask this question. So, but how many of you would say that your prayer life needs some improvement? Right. Your prayer life needs like a hug. Like it needs some improvement here. Like you're a Christ follower, you believe, but man, you know that your prayer life needs some improvement. And for me personally, man, I've been at that place so many times throughout my life. I mean, I grew up in the church from my first memories. Like I was in Sunday school, like flannel graph boards, getting in trouble, you know, Sunday school teacher coming and talking to my dad coming and get me out of Sunday school, you know, all those things. I grew up in the church. So I've been around prayer, and I've carried so much guilt and shame at times throughout my life because, man, my prayer life didn't measure up to this person, or I didn't feel like I was connecting with God the way I should, or whatever it may be. And so I've struggled at times, and I've known that my prayer life needs some improvement. And by the show of hands here a second ago, I feel better because I'm not alone in that, right? We're all in this together. And so my hope and my prayer throughout this message series is that God will use this kind of as this catalyst to bring some healing, hopefully, to you as it relates to prayer, but also to free you up to begin to connect with God in a real and an authentic and an incredible way that will have a lasting impact on your life. I mean, it will bring about serious life change when you learn and you begin to connect with God through prayer. So as we get this series underway, I want to begin to build like a very simple foundation for where we're going to be. And then we're going to kind of, like I said, we're going to build off from there. And so the first thing that I want us to look at and acknowledge is that there's some common reasons that people don't pray. There's some common reasons why people don't feel like they have a solid prayer life. There's common reasons why almost everyone in here raised their hand saying that their prayer life needs some improvement. And so I'm going to just quickly share a few of these with you, and maybe some of you will be able to relate to this, to one or maybe all of them. But the first thing we see that one of the reasons that people struggle with prayer or may not pray as much as they should is because they're not sure they know how to pray. Right? They kind of, like I said, we overcomplicate it. We get in our heads. We're like, am I saying the right things? Am I saying it the right way? I just prayed about this. Was I supposed to pray about that? Is that legit? Can I do that? Or is that against the rules? You know, or whatever it is, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. And so people really struggle with that. So then it pushes people away. They fear not doing it right, or they don't know how to do it. So they just avoid it altogether. Another thing that we see is that people's prayer life may struggle or they may not praise because they get distracted when they're trying to pray. know, you ADHD people out there, I'm one of them. You know, you start to pray, and then you're praying, and then all of a sudden your mind starts to drift onto your to-do list or something you got to do at the house. And then, you know, then a car drives by, and you're like, what kind of car was that? And, you know, and then, you know, something else happens, and you're just distracted. How many of you all have ever been praying and actually fell asleep? Look at all you spiritual people out there. Just pray until you just can't go anymore, right? Yeah, I mean, we get distracted, so sometimes it becomes frustrating, and then so we just avoid it. Another reason is that you think your requests are too small for God. Like, you think about your life as just this insignificant thing, and that God is the creator and sustainer of all things, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and so why in the world would he care about this little thing that I'm dealing with, or this little request, or this little need I have? Or, you know, so we think that our requests and our lives are too small, so we just fail to pray. Or maybe it's because you're not sure if prayer even makes a difference. Maybe that's one of the reasons why you don't pray. You're like, well, God knows everything anyways, and he can do anything, so why does he need me to pray? And the last time I prayed for something, it didn't work out the way I wanted it to work out, so does it even matter? Does it even make a difference? So we get these things in our head, and there's all these different reasons that we stress out and we complicate prayer. So again, for today, I want to begin with the most basic and foundational level on prayer. And so the first thing that we have to do is we have to be able to define prayer, right? Like, what is prayer? And for me, one of my favorite definition that I've ever heard on prayer, and one that I share with people when they ask, is that prayer is simply communicating with God. Like, that's it. It's not that complicated. Prayer is simply communicating with God. Now, a simple thought that is also incredibly complex and humbling. Really. I mean, the fact that we have direct access to communicate with God is an incredible thought. Like, when you really break that down, that is very humbling. That Andy, that I, with all my flaws and ridiculousness and failures, have direct access to communicate with God. It's incredible. But you see, that's what prayer is. It's just simply communicating with God. And I think it's also important to note that we all communicate in different ways, right? Like, if you have any experience with interacting with people, which I hope everyone in here does, you know, except for, you know, maybe the littlest ones, but they're still interacting, they're learning to communicate. But if you communicate with people, you understand that. You understand that how you communicate with one person is going to be different than the other person, because the way you communicate is different, because each individual is unique. And if you haven't figured that out yet, you probably have some not great relationships. And we probably could talk about that later. But we all communicate in these unique and different ways. Like, for me, I think about that with my own kids. You know, I have two kids, so how each, they're totally different in how they communicate. You know, so for my daughter, Amelia, like, she doesn't like to communicate and talk about, like, very serious things, like, immediately right after school or right after dance, at least not with me. She that's just the way we communicate. She needs to kind of settle in a little bit, have some time, and then she might share some things with me. She might. She's already, like, verbally vomited to my wife about everything. But that's just how she communicates with me. So I have to know that. And I have to communicate with her in that way. To where Sawyer, on the other hand, that dude is like a communication machine. I guarantee you right now, he's downstairs probably being redirected for talking. Because he talks, and he talks, and he talks. Especially when he's doing something. So if he gets busy doing something, I mean, he will share anything and everything with you. But I also know that if it's something serious that he's worried about, that he will be a little more guarded with that. And he'll need some more encouragement and some reassurance before he opens up about those things. So, but I've learned that my kids both communicate in different ways. The way we communicate changes over time as well. With age or with a strength of a relationship or the longevity of a relationship, the way you communicate changes. The way my wife and I, we just celebrated our 14-year anniversary this week, and the way we communicate today is much different than the way we communicated 14 years ago. Not that it was bad, it's just different. There's been growth. There's still struggles. But the way you communicate is unique. It's different. There's not a one-size-fits-all when it comes to communicating. So if prayer is simply communicating with God, we have to understand that we need to communicate with God the way that we're wired, through the way he created us. That's how we need to approach and communicate and pray to God. David, King David gave us a great example of this in Psalms chapter 5, verse 1 and 3. He says, we see his creativity in his prayer, that it wasn't a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. It wasn't cookie cutter. He prayed to God. He communicated with him in the way he was wired, in the situation, in the time, and the emotion that he was in. Check it out. In Psalms 5, verse 1, David prays. He says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. He said, consider my groaning. Groaning can be defined as an utterance expressing pain or disapproval. He wasn't even saying words. He said, God, just consider my groaning. That's how he was communicating with God. And their relationship was so good that God knew exactly what he was communicating. They're just groaning. It's like when I do something completely stupid or boneheaded, my wife can just groan. And I know exactly what she's saying. She's saying, you're an idiot, you need to stop. She doesn't use words. She can just groan, sigh, whatever, roll her eyes. No words. I know what she's communicating. And that's how David was approaching God. He said, I want to talk to you, but I don't have words right now. All I can do is groan. And so just consider that. He was freed up and was creative in how he was communicating with his God. He says in verse 2, heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. He's acknowledging that relationship. Verse 3, in the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. He's crying, he's groaning, he's pouring out to God in the way that he was created. And then he says, now I'm going to eagerly watch because I know you're going to move, because I know you hear me. I know you're going to do something incredible. You may not do exactly what I asked. You may do something better. You may do something different, but I know you're going to move, so I'm just going to sit back and watch because I've communicated this to you. He's communicating with his King, with his Father, with his God. And so we all communicate in different ways, so we have to give ourselves permission to pray from that unique way. In the way that you're wired, in the way that God has created you. He created you unique, different. Not one of us is the same. And I think that's the beauty of his creation. We have to pray and connect with him, communicate with him with how we're wired. So maybe you like to sing. That's a passion of yours. Then sing your prayers. You can do that. It's okay. If you like to write, you like to journal, and that's the way you're able to communicate best, write your prayers to God. I mean, that is okay. We are free to communicate with God with how he creates us. Maybe it's walking around the house, completing just routine tasks, or driving. You know, I pray a ton driving to work and back. I have a 30-minute drive, and people probably think I'm crazy because I'm just talking to myself. You know, that's okay. But pray in the way that you're created. Maybe it's that you're just broken and all you can do is cry to God. That's okay. Just cry. He'll be there with you. He knows what you're communicating. Maybe it's you see that sunset. Maybe you connect with God through his creation. You see that, man, God, you are so good. You crushed it this morning. Look at that sunrise or that sunset. Just communicate with him. I want to encourage you to be free. Break out of those preconceived notions that you may have about what prayer has to be and begin to communicate with your God. And as you do that, it's going to create a relationship with him that is far exceeds probably what you ever imagined, because you are truly communicating with him in the way that he has created you. It's powerful. Prayer is a powerful thing. And it's communicating with God. It's not complicated. It's not scary. It's just communicating with him. So for the rest of our time this morning, I want to share with you four very simple yet very powerful thoughts on how we can improve our prayer life. Even if you have a good, solid prayer life, I think this you could apply some of these principles to take it to that next level and continue to grow and connect with God in even stronger ways. Four different ways that we can talk and should talk to God. And the first thing that we're going to see is that we need to talk to God with complete honesty. Complete honesty. Because newsflash, he already knows. So you might as well be honest. Speak to God with 100% honesty. Raw, unfiltered. Communicate with him with how you feel. With what's going on. Be real. Be authentic when you communicate with God. For example, I went to a Christian concert some years ago, which honestly I don't go to a ton of them because sometimes they frustrate me, but I can share that all with you if you want to know what I'm talking about with that. But I went to this Christian concert, and at the end of the concert, this guy gets up on stage, and he's kind of talking, about just about faith, kind of sharing the gospel a little bit, which was beautiful. It was great. And then he prays, okay? And I guess he was like the road pastor of the tour or whatever, so he prays. And when he's a normal-looking guy. I mean, he's probably my age. I mean, he was just a rad-looking dude like you would think at a concert, like a musician or whatever. He starts to pray, and then he's just, I don't even know what he was saying. Like, I couldn't understand him. He was breaking out, like, all these weird theological terms as he was praying and using old English and just bizarre phrases. And, like, it just, none of it made sense. And it was almost as if he was trying to put on this show as he was praying. And I promise you, he wasn't talking like that before. And if you went up and talked to him afterwards, he wasn't going to talk that same way. But for some reason, he chose to pray that way. It's like he was putting on this show. I mean, I've seen this over and over and over again throughout my life. Like I said, I grew up in the church, and I don't know how many times I know somebody, you know, I have a great relationship with them, and then they start to pray, and then they catch a case of the prayer voice, right? I mean, they totally start talking differently than they do in their regular life. You know, imagine if, and we need to talk to our Father with authenticity, with who we are. We don't have to put on a show for him. We can communicate with him honestly. I mean, think about if you had a six-year-old and he walks up to you and he walks right up to you and stops and is like, "Oh, great and powerful Father, I seek your blessing and protection to go rideth my bike." Like, I would be like, "Dude, what are you talking about? Like, what's wrong? Like, are you okay?" No, he'd probably walk up to you, grab your hand, and say, "Hey, Dad, I love you. Could you come outside with me and watch me ride my bike?" That's how he would communicate that. Doesn't have to put on a show. That's how we need to communicate with God. We need to be real and authentic and honest. When we look through scripture, we see all these different times where God's people, where they're brutally honest with God in their prayer. Sometimes it's kind of uncomfortable to read. Like, I'm like, I don't even know if I should even read that. They're so honest. I think about Moses in Exodus chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. This is the last two verses in this chapter. And he says, "Why, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Like it's this confusion, this frustration, this doubt. Like you can hear it in his voice. He says, ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people and you have not rescued your people at all. Period, the end of the chapter. That's honest. That's brutally honest. That's bold. But he was communicating with God honestly, with where he was at, with what he was thinking. He really just laid it out there. And we need to do the same thing. We need to be bold and honest when we pray. Of course, you always want to be reverent, always respectful, always submissive and worshipful when we approach God, because he is God. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So he deserves that respect more than that, and that reverence. But we can also do so honestly and boldly, because he tells us. He says, you can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive help. We have to be honest in our communication with God. Not flashy, not showy. There's no need for that. No need to put on a show. When you look through the New Testament and you see the life of Jesus, the only time that he spoke out against someone's prayer was with the Pharisees, right? He says, he criticized their prayer, honestly, because it was too lengthy and too showy. It was lengthy for a showy purpose, and it wasn't authentic. It said in Matthew 6, chapter 6, verses 5 and 7, it says, and when you pray, do not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. They were so concerned about what people thought, as opposed to actually honestly communicating with God, with how they were wired, with how he created them. They weren't focused on that. They were focusing on what other people were going to say about how spiritual they were. Verse 7, it says, and when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. This is Jesus teaching this. Your prayers don't have to be unnecessarily long. I mean, if you pray, like I know some people that when they pray, man, they go in and it's incredible. And if that's how you're wired, that's beautiful. Do it. We need those prayer warriors. But you don't have to be perfect when you pray. You don't have to be flashy. You don't have to use certain terminology. You just pray to God. You talk and communicate with your Creator, with your Father. You do so from the way that you're wired. And if you can do that, I promise you, man, your prayer life is going to be unleashed. And your relationship with God is going to thrive. Because you are communicating authentically with God. The second thing that we can do to best communicate with God is to talk to God about everything that matters to you. Talk to God about everything that matters to you. Anything and everything. Nothing is too big or too small for our God. So we have to communicate that way. I mean, just like we talked about last week, we covered this passage of scripture, but again, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. You can pray about everything, anything and everything. If it matters to you, I promise you, it matters to God. If it matters to you, it matters to God. So you can present your requests to him. You can pray to him. That doesn't mean he's going to answer it the exact way that you wanted to when you want him to. But it matters to him. Because it matters to you. So we need to pray about everything. This is something that we have tried to teach and model to our kids in their prayer life. To pray about anything. To be honest and authentic when you pray. And how you're wired. And to pray about anything and everything. And that's been an interesting journey. To hear some of the things that are prayed for. Now, again, Amelia right now, she's getting older, and now she's like lowering down in her seat. It must be rough to be a preacher's kid, because she's like, but I mean, her prayer life is a lot more private. So she is very private about her prayer life, and that's cool, and that's great, because I know she prays, and you know, that's great. So I'm not really sure how she's praying, but Sawyer, that dude, he'll pray about anything. And he's pretty authentic. He's pretty raw when he prays about it too. And there's been a few times I'm like, oh, should I stop him? should I redirect this? Because this is really an interesting prayer. You know, but honestly, I love it because, I mean, he's just communicating with God. There's no, like, he doesn't have to put on a show. He's just talking to God about what matters to him in that moment. And God cares about that because he cares about that. So what matters to you that maybe you're not praying about right now? Because you think it's either too big or too small or too insignificant for God. I promise you, it matters. So begin to take that to him. Pray about those things that matter to you. Just talk to him about it. I mean, again, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says we're to cast all our anxieties, all our cares on him because he cares for you. Man, I've heard that passage of scripture over and over and over and over again in my life. But when you actually meditate on that, think on that, that's incredible. Cast all your cares, all your anxieties on him because he cares about you. You specifically. And what matters to you matters to him. So we're going to take that to him. The third thing that we're going to learn to do is to talk to God continually. Right? Talk to God continually. And again, for those of you that kind of have that ADD, you know, kind of prayer life, and you struggle to pray for long periods of time because you get distracted or whatever it might be, man, this will be a game changer for your prayer life, I promise. And I can say that because it's been personally a game changer for me. Is that you pray continuously. Doesn't have to be lengthy. It doesn't have to stand out. It doesn't have to be worded these certain ways. You don't have to say, just pray to God and do so throughout the day. So when you wake up in the morning, your prayer might be, God, thank you for another day. And I pray that you would take it and bless it and help me to be on mission. That's your prayer. And then as you're driving to work, God, help me to be focused on work today. Give me opportunities to share your truth, your love with people. Then you get to work and you see that coworker, right? That you know that they're you know, they have a loved one that's in the hospital, or their marriage is struggling, whatever. So then you just ask God to be with them and to pray and to heal in that situation and to guide in that situation. And you got a meeting coming up that you're a little worried about. So as you're walking in that meeting, God, give me some wisdom. Help me to think clearly. Help me to say the right things. Help me not to operate from emotion, because I know I get frustrated. So help me with that. You just pray continuously throughout the day. And as you do that, you'll find that you're constantly connected to the presence of God. And that's a game changer. I'm telling you, it's incredible how you can connect with God all day, every day. I love that there was a British evangelist years, years, years ago named Sam Wigglesworth. For one, he's got an incredible last name. Right, so let's just say that. But one of the things that he said, and his quote, and you can search it, and it's all over the internet if you look. But he said he never prays more than 30 minutes at a time, but he never goes 30 minutes without praying. And I've heard that since being in Bible college. I've heard people quote that and say that. But man, that is so incredible. And if you can actually do that in your life, in your prayer life, to where you never go 30 minutes without connecting with God, I promise your relationship with God is going to thrive. Your life will then begin to have more purpose and more meaning. And the people around you will start to see something radically different in you and want to know what in the world is going on with you, because, man, you are on fire. You're killing it. You're crushing it. Doesn't mean things will be perfect. But it means you'll be connected to God every step of the way. And that's incredible. So we're going to pray continuously. Never going to stop. Be consistent. constantly aware, constantly in the presence of God, because you're just praying over and over throughout the day. You're connecting with God. And the fourth and final thing that we're going to do that will help our prayer life just to come alive is we're going to talk to God and then listen for his response. A lot of us do a great job of talking. We say a lot of things to God, but not a lot of us do a great job of listening. And if I don't know about you, but if I'm in a relationship with you and all you ever do is talk, and you never listen to anything that I have to say, we're not going to have a good relationship. And vice versa. I mean, just think about how stale and stagnant, impersonal a one-sided relationship is, a one-sided conversation is. Nobody likes that. It's not healthy. It's not helpful, and it's not a real relationship. It's not. A real relationship, real communication is two-way. It's talking, and then it's listening. And it's the same way with God. Yes, we need to communicate with him. We need to cast our anxieties and our cares upon him. We need to share with him the things that we care about and do so in an authentic way, in the way that we're wired, and do so continuously. But we also need to shut up and listen, because God has some things to say. And again, if he has some things to say, I want to listen. I want to know what those things are, because we're talking about God. And we should be just sitting on the edge of our seat waiting to hear what he has to say. And he will. He will speak to those who are listening, who are waiting for it, eagerly awaiting what he's going to do. But we have to listen. And just like we all connect and communicate in a variety of different ways, God speaks to us in a variety of different ways. And while we would all like to get like the audible voice of God just to clear as day, you know, just tell us exactly what to do to make it easy for us, right? We'd all like that. Doesn't always work like that. Scripture talks about the gentle whisper of God. A lot of times that's how he communicates. And if we're so busy talking, so busy with life, so busy on the run or whatever it might be, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss what he has to say, and it's one-sided communication. I mean, I think about how God spoke to Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. Scripture says that there was this mighty wind, like this big wind that just kind of ripped through the mountains, shattering the rocks. It says, but God wasn't in the wind. Then there was this huge earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was this fire. It says that God wasn't in the fire. And in the second part of 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12, it says, and after the fire came what? A gentle whisper. All these big, powerful things, but God spoke through a gentle whisper. We have to be listening. We have to pay attention. When we pray, we have to calm our spirit, calm ourselves down, spend some time listening to God. God will speak to you as you pray. As you read his word, you'll be reading something and boom, like you just, God speaks. You have this revelation of something like, ah, never thought about that before. That makes so much sense, right? God speaks to us through other people. He speaks to us through our circumstances. He speaks to us through his creation. I don't know how many times that's for me personally, just seeing God's creation and experience and being in it is just incredible. And I feel more connected to God that way when I think about how powerful and how big he really is and how small I am. And he begins to speak to me in those moments. Sometimes he could speak audibly to you. Sometimes it's that gentle voice and that whisper of the Holy Spirit. A variety of ways that God will speak to us, but we have to be listening. We've got to pay attention. We've got to shut up sometimes and just listen to God. John chapter 10, verse 27 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." He doesn't say that they talk to me all the time and never quiet down and follow me. They constantly just make request after request after request and then follow me. He says, no, they hear and listen to my voice. They follow me. We have to be listening because God has some things to say. I guess it was some 3.5 years ago, sitting in a worship service over at the sanctuary that the Life Point Church, former Life Point Church, used to be at. And I was the youth pastor at the time, and we were just sitting in worship, and all of a sudden God spoke to me. It wasn't an audible thing, but it was as clear as day. And it was, "You're going to take this over." And I had no idea what that meant. Was pretty freaked out by that because I had a lot going on in my life. I was getting ready to graduate with my MBA. There was all kinds of things going on. And I just leaned over to my wife right there in the worship. I said, "I don't know what's going on, but I just know that I'm supposed to take this on. Don't know what it means, but I'm supposed to take this on." And it was God preparing my heart, because just a week or two later, I found out that our former pastor was leaving to start another church in Arizona. And God had prepared me for that. And if had I not been listening, I may have missed that. I may not have been prepared for what was coming. And when I think about everything that has transpired over the past 3.5 years, honestly, it can kind of trace back to that one moment of God speaking. We have to listen. You see, years from now, if we enact these things in our prayer life, years from now, life can look radically different. It can look radically different when we come before God honestly, authentically, communicating with Him, listening to what God has to say, doing life with Him. That's where it starts. Before we can do life with anyone else, we have to do life with God. We need to communicate with Him, because God will hear from you. And if you'll listen, you will also hear from Him. And when you do that, that's when things start to move. That's when your relationship with God starts to thrive. That's when you get on mission and you're able to reach other people and share the gospel, and you're just moving forward and God is doing incredible things. Starts with our relationship with Him. Starts with understanding that prayer is communicating with God. And it's critical for us to do that as individuals and as a church. So let's begin to pray. Pray authentically. Pray about the things that matter to you. Pray continuously, and then listen. I promise you, your prayer life and your relationship with God will never be the same if you do those things. Let's pray. God, we come before you this morning, God, just humbled and so incredibly thankful that we can actually pray, that we have direct access to you at any time. We can come before your throne of grace boldly, honestly, authentically. God, we're so thankful for that. May we never forget how powerful and how important that is, how special that is. God, we thank you so much for that. God, and I pray at this time that, Lord, that you would just speak to us, that we would actually listen. That we wouldn't cloud our brain with things, but Lord, that we would just listen to you in this moment, and then we would respond. Whatever it is that you're speaking, whatever it is that you want to teach us, whatever it is you want us to tell us, God, that we would listen. So God, I pray that for myself and for every person that's here, God, that we would just listen at this moment. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never come into a relationship with God. Maybe that's that next step for you. Maybe you're continuing to seek, and if so, that's awesome. Like, keep searching, keep exploring, keep looking into the things of God. And begin to pray for understanding. If God is speaking to you and encouraging, you feel that tug to come to Him. Even if you don't fully understand, man, just keep running after Him. He's pursuing. If you feel that tug, man, you go for it. Don't hold back. Just give your life to Him. I promise you it'll be the best decision that you've ever made. And Scripture tells us in Romans that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose from the grave, that you will be saved. That you will come into connection and relationship with Him forever. That you will never be the same. So if you're here this morning, man, just, and you feel that tug, just give your life to Christ. Just commit. Just lay it out there. I promise. Again, it's the best decision you'll ever make. You just call out to Him. You confess and you believe. Maybe you're here this morning and you are a Christ follower, but your prayer life is struggling. Need some improvement. Maybe it's non-existent. Commit to making that change today. Begin to be authentic and honest with God. I mean, I spent some time in my life where I was afraid to pray because I felt like I was so far from God because I hadn't prayed in so long. That I was like I was afraid to pray because I hadn't prayed. Then God speaking to me through other people. So what are you afraid of? Just run into my arms. If that's where you're at, man, I get it. Begin to talk to God. Be honest with Him. Tell Him that. And I promise you, He will embrace you, and you'll feel His love, and you'll feel His grace. And His mercy. Begin to pray. Commit to that today, to do it authentically. Share with Him what you care about. Do it continuously and then listen. Radically transform your life. God, again, we thank You for Your truth. Thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your love. God, speak to us in this moment, and may we respond. As the team plays, and we stay in a spirit of prayer, you just do business with God as He leads. You can pray right there from your seat. You can listen. Maybe it's just that you need to listen. Just quiet. Listen to God in this moment. Or if you'd like to come forward, there'll be some of our leaders up here that will pray with you, that'll listen to you, will guide you, that'll encourage you. Maybe you want to give your life to Christ. Man, do that. Don't hold back. You just do business with God right now as He leads, as the team plays.